welcome to another episode of Worst Collection Ever. This is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence. And it just happens to belong to us. I'm Jen.
I'm Sean. What a week it's been since last time we recorded.
It's been so long.
It is. We have jumped ahead a week.
We're in the future.
In the future.
Oh my gosh, that thing that happened.
Man, I can't believe.
The thing.
What life is like now. In this week of November 2020.
We're doing this right after the last one.
Yeah.
You guys know that.
You guys know
that. If you listened to the last episode. Anyway.
If you're new to the show, we're...
Hi. Are in the future.
Yeah. We never assume that anybody's new listening to the show.
No.
We never do.
No.
And I feel kind of bad. I feel bad about that, just thinking about that now. But...
Hello?
But, hi.
New listener.
Hi. Yeah. So I guess we should greet all of our new listeners if you exist.
Sure.
But if you're a reoccurring listener, fuck off. No. We appreciate you. We know all of you out there. You guys are all rad. So thank you. I guess we want to just talk about some movies real quick.
Uh-huh.
And we'll...
Which is not Suburbia.
No, it's not Suburbia. We didn't watch Suburbia. Suburbia is currently on, and we're not watching it, which is fine.
Because
a child got eaten by a dog, and that disturbs me.
That would have been my favorite movie. I'm pretty sure I would have really liked Suburbia.
Oh, yeah.
Because it seems fucked up.
It does seem fucked up. I think Flea's in it.
Which, we know I love fucked up movies.
Yeah. So, well, it's Penelope Spheeris' movie, so...
I'm sure I could find it somewhere. Maybe.
Yeah, it's true.
Anyway, so we watched a couple movies.
There was some stuff I wanted to talk about. Well, I'm going to start with, because it was some Halloween stuff.
My favorite holiday.
Because Halloween was last week.
Oh, 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
Right.
And we watched some Halloween stuff leading up to it. Because you brought up Salem. And it reminded me of...
We watched Lords of Salem.
Lords of Salem and Hubie Halloween.
Hubie Halloween.
Hubie. What was it? There was another one too, wasn't there?
Maybe not a Salem one.
But I know it was definitely those two. I had another one in my head, and maybe I'll remember it, but that's fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Lords of Salem, that is a Rob Zombie movie. And it's based on a premise of about there being a record. So first of all, obviously it's based in Salem.
By Rob Zombie,
based in Salem.
Yes.
But, like, it's also, like, I feel it's supposed to be present day.
Well, I think it was present day whenever it was made.
Yeah, but it doesn't feel right because it feels like Ken Foree's in there.
Uh-huh.
And he's got, like, this big, like, Julius, I can't think of his last name. The guy from Sam Jackson from Pulp Fiction.
Uh-huh.
He's got that big, like, a fro like that.
Uh-huh.
And it's just like, I saw that and I was like, are we like in the past, but also in the present?
Because
it didn't make sense because it was just like, it just felt like there's a, it was kind of like It Follows, which is such a weird movie because it's like, you don't know what actual time period it is. It feels very odd. But this one's about, The Lords of Salem, it's about Rob Zombie's wife, Sherry Moon, who's in every single one of his movies in an important role. She's not that good of an actor. She did okay here, though.
Yeah, she's all right.
She was all right. But she's a DJ.
Yeah. It's this, like, weird, like, local Salem radio station with, like, some other dudes. And she gets, like, a record, and it's just addressed to her. And she's like, cool, record. And she plays it, and it's, like, witch music.
It hypnotizes the women of Salem. And eventually it leads to the witches of Salem, like, coming back to perform this in Salem itself. And a bunch of, like, and then, like, it allows Sherry Moon to give birth to the Antichrist.
Sure.
Which is just like a little, like, cockroach monster.
Yeah. Gross.
And that's it.
Yeah.
So the things that I find interesting about it, you've got a radio station in Salem, which I don't think there is. Is there a radio station in Salem?
Oh, I have no idea.
Like, there's college stations.
I mean, there could have been one before.
I don't know.
When this was set. I don't know if it still exists. I have no idea.
Because also in Hubie Halloween, there's like a station, like a radio station in Salem that's like, it's like, man, this is like Salem Station. Because, you know, but it's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of like it's just for Salem. Like, it doesn't feel like it's also for like Boston.
Right.
You know, just,
yeah, feels it's like, it's just like a Salem centric radio station. And maybe it's the college station, but it doesn't seem to be, because they all seem to be like out of college.
Yeah, they all seem to be sort of regular ass people.
Yeah.
You know, but so she works at the station, but she's like a part of like a midnight zoo crew, because they're
doing, oh, that's right, there's so many fucking like, like in the, yeah, background.
there's a lot of like they're interviewing somebody and it's like,
hey, we're gonna listen to this show, Wooga. Like, it's really dumb.
It's like, hey, what is it, is that wood, boing, you, yeah, know, or whatever. Just soundboards galore.
Yeah.
And she plays like, she actually plays for a zoo crew woman on a zoo crew.
Mm-hmm.
She plays a pretty progressive role.
Right.
Because a lot of times the women on the zoo crew are just like there to be like, oh no, you know, or to say things about like, you know, whatever, about things that the guy, it's like, you men are pigs. And the guys are like, oi,
yeah,
oi.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, she plays a pretty progressive role here. And she just, but she's also like a recovering addict.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she lives in this apartment building, which apparently it's just her
and this woman
and this other woman. And there's nobody else who lives in this apartment. Because there's also like a witch room.
Yeah, there's like an apartment that the lady can't rent, but she also doesn't have any other neighbors, apparently.
No, zero neighbors. And who else is in this movie, though? Meg Foster's in it, who is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
She was like the lead witch.
Oh, yeah, eyes. Yeah. And then her sister is played by the woman who played Magenta in Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Right. And then her other sister, one of the other women there is Dee Wallace, who's the lead woman from The Howling.
Oh, okay.
And
yeah,
she's been in a bunch of other like,
yeah, yeah,
Rob Zombie movies. So yeah, so there's quite a few. Ken Foree's in there, who's of course known best from Dawn of the Dead. So he's there. Who else? No, Bruce Davison is there.
Of
X-Men fame.
That's right. He plays like a college professor who like wrote a book about the Salem witch trials or something.
Yeah. But he gets in first, and they interview him on a show, and he tells Sherry Moon Zombie, he's like, hey, I like your tattoos, and they're like, boy, oy, oy, oruga. Yeah. You know, it's just, it's ridiculous. But he lives like the best life, because he lives in like an artist loft.
Oh, he lives. That's a fucking coolest place.
With Maria Conchita Alonso,
who's his wife.
And she's just like an artist, like a painter. And he's just like a witch author.
It's like all brick and like a studio.
And they got like a brass bathtub.
But it's like huge. It's like an old warehouse converted to a loft. It's really fucking sweet. I'm like, you know what? I'd like to live there.
Yeah, it makes me.
Though I really enjoyed Doors.
Yeah,
that's my true. Only problem with like a big expansive studio like that, because I don't want to have to sit in the tub and not have a wall. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's just you and me. But at the same time,
well, be like something where it's like I'd be sitting like on the couch, and then you'd be off in the corner in the tub,
and I'd be in the tub.
It's like, well, I need a bathroom door.
Yeah,
you know. You know, there's just stuff I want to do in the bathroom. I want to just clean.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't
need to have have everybody look at me.
Right.
So, but it is pretty rad. It makes me nostalgic for Salem.
Yeah, I miss Salem.
You know, they
I liked Salem a lot.
They even mention Harrison's, which is like a comic book store there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a collectible store, which is pretty rad.
And yeah.
I'd love to go there again. Yeah, I mean, it's just about the witches, you know, and it's, I don't want to give too much away, because it's just a weird witch movie. It's, you know, it's a lot of like Sherry Moon Zombie just being like drawn to this, witch thing, you know, to this witch thing. And then at one point, like a priest tries to molest her.
Yeah, that's weird. Because
that was weird.
You can't tell if that's real or not.
I think it was a dream.
And then like some guy's just like walking a sheep, and then he disappears.
Yeah. And then there's,
she does have a cute dog.
She has a cute dog, and I think the dog lives. So I think we're okay there. But she also has these like Crate and Barrel like nightstands that are just illuminated cubes.
Mm.
And that's very cool.
Yo, those are cool.
Her apartment actually looks pretty nice too. Like it just looks kind of like a lot of weird light, like a weird like black, like just fluorescent light in spots and stuff. And it just, I dig it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Salem is awesome. I would love to work at the radio station.
Yeah.
I think that'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And then we also watched Hubie Halloween, which is a Netflix movie.
I really thought I was going to hate this movie because I Adam Sandler's newer shit is awful, right? Most of it.
Well, a lot of it's just,
I mean, especially
stupid jokes that are just like, I'm like, what the fuck are we even doing?
Right. Like, I kind of feel like he hit his peak and then ever since then, it's just been him making the same basic movie over and over again for the past 20 years. Cause I mean, like I love The Wedding Singer. I think it's a really funny movie.
It's good. Yeah.
But I hate like Little Nicky and I didn't even see the one where he was his own sister.
Jack and Jill.
Never even saw it.
Never seen that. I feel like that one might be
dumb.
I kind of
Chuck and Larry was terrible.
Chuck and Larry's terrible. Waterboy is annoying. Oh,
Waterboy's really bad. So yeah, I mean like, so I was like, okay, whatever. It's another Adam Sandler movie where he does a dumb voice.
He does it. Basically he does the Waterboy voice, but like a little bit different.
Yeah.
But also, Big Daddy's okay.
It's all right.
I mean,
there's too many piss jokes in
that. There is actually a lot of piss jokes in that.
Why are there so many piss jokes?
Actually, what am I saying? I only remember like the end of it.
I just remember John Stewart's that kid's dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he has that line where he says Canadian beer is like moonshine. And Big Mosh used to walk around saying that.
Like ragging on that woman who worked at Hooters.
Yeah. Yeah. There's like an old guy and they talk about his old balls. Yeah. Oh. That's what I remember about that movie. you know what? Big Daddy sucks.
Old balls.
But there's also, I'm trying to think. Billy Madison, I've never seen.
Billy Madison, I have seen, but not. It didn't watch it a ton. I remember liking it, but it's been so long.
I feel like I probably would really enjoy Billy Madison, and also what's the other one? Happy Gilmore.
Yeah,
I think I've seen Happy Gilmore, but it's also one of those ones where I've never actually just sat down and watched the entire thing.
Mm-hmm.
But those seem to be really, you know, big favorites, and for a lot of people that like my age.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, so this one I was like, oh, it's going to be dumb. It's going to be Adam Sandler just around.
And it is.
And it is, but it does. It's pretty funny. I don't know if it's funny because every time he like screams because he's scared of something.
Yeah.
His reactions are pretty funny.
Yeah. No, he's really.
Those are pretty good. That made me laugh.
Yeah. There's a lot of it where he plays this guy, Hubie, who is kind of like the official, like unofficial, like protector of Salem or whatever. He's just like a guy that like he really loves Halloween, but he gets scared very easily.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those kind of things.
Yeah, which is so weird. It's like, how do you love Halloween?
There's
like
people that are like that. They just get they get freaked out by Halloween, but they love but freaked out
maybe
by
they
the
like
horror.
To be scared.
I think that's what it is.
And of course the usual suspects are in this movie. You've got Steve Buscemi.
Yes.
You've got Rob Schneider. I almost said Rob Reiner, and I was like, that isn't correct.
Tim Meadows is there. David Spade is there.
Colin Quinn is there.
Colin Quinn has
Which
to be there.
Which I was
there.
Like, wait, where did you come
Kevin
from?
Kevin James is there. Well, Colin Quinn's in all of his movies.
I haven't seen Colin Quinn in forever.
He's in literally every.
I know, but what the fuck else has he been doing?
I don't know. Just
it's kind of like Rob Schneider. Like, man, you're really lucky that you're friends with Adam Sandler.
I always remember Colin Quinn from being on Remote Control. Do you remember that?
I vaguely remember that MTV show.
Where he was like
he was like a host.
He was like the
It was a panel, right?
Well, it was the thing where like Ken Ober was the host. R.I.P. Ken Ober. He was the host, and they would he had three contestants. And Colin Quinn was like the Vanna White kind of deal, but he was like he would just do like characters and sketches or whatever to like present the questions. So he would that was his deal. Man, actually, I would love to watch some Remote Control, but you can't probably can't because of like rights.
I know.
Because they would have this part at the end where you had to guess. They had like a big wall of TVs and it had all these different music videos on it. And you had to like go to each of those videos and guess which video it was.
Oh, okay.
Which I would probably fucking kill.
I'm sure you would.
I would fucking kill at Remote Control. And they actually made an NES game out of it, too. Believe it or not. So, Hubie Halloween there's a lot of just him, Adam Sandler just acting like a fool. But there's some young actors in there that are doing really good. I'd say about 50% of them are his kids.
Yeah, that's true. Like his actual children are in this movie.
Adam Sandler's kids are in there, but it's fine.
Yeah.
You know, there's just some stupid shit going on in there. And I don't really want to get too into
it.
That's right. Ray Liotta's in there.
Oh, that's right. Ray Liotta's in the movie. It is one of those things that's kind of like.
Sorry. Oh, go ahead. But I got another movie I want to talk about too, but go ahead.
Yeah. If you need something dumb and mindless, it's really good for that.
So at one point at the end, like Ray Liotta plays like this townie who's just like a dick, because everybody's a dick to Hubie.
Yes.
To Adam Sandler. And what he does also reminds me of the Rocky thing where somebody throws an egg at him and he catches it in his thermos and then he just drinks it.
Yeah.
That was the thing, because it's in the trailer where he's got this.
It's super like a thermos. Swiss Army thermos.
Yeah. Just a lot of Adam Sandler just getting beat up. And
that's true. A lot of him falling.
People throwing things at him, and they're throwing like TVs at him and stuff.
People fucking like huck wrenches at him. It's pretty funny.
And he's like, oh, excuse me. But Ray Liotta, at one point, he's in this, and it's at the end. They're going through like a haunted house, and his costume is just Ray Liotta in a rainbow wig.
That's right.
That's his costume. He's just like, because it's Halloween, and he's like, his mother died.
His father died.
It was his father. That's right. Yeah. His father died. And Adam Sandler like interrupts his funeral for some reason earlier. And then at the end, he's like going through a haunted house. And it's just Ray Liotta's costume. Ray Liotta's costume is just Ray Liotta dressed like Ray Liotta.
In a suit.
In a suit. But he's got a rainbow wig. And he's just acting like it's just, oh, I'm just Ray Liotta.
Maybe you should go as that next Halloween. Just put on a suit and a rainbow wig. Be like, I'm Ray Liotta.
I'd have to put on some blue contacts, though.
Oh, maybe.
Because I feel like Ray Liotta's got those eyes.
So he does. He does.
So it's just Goodfellas, but with a rainbow wig. Shaq's in it.
Oh, that's right. Shaq is in that movie. I don't want to spoil
how Shaq's in there.
But Shaq is in this movie.
Shaq's got a weird thing. And there's another radio station in that movie, too.
There's so many radio stations. Apparently, Salem. Lousy with radio station.
Yeah, apparently so.
Yeah.
So there's that movie. And speaking of wigs, we also watched Theater of Blood.
Oh, yes, we did.
Theater of Blood.
It took me a second to remember what I was like, what movie?
Theater of Blood, which stars Vincent Price.
Yes. And other people,
Diana Rigg, who played Emma Peel on the Avengers.
Okay.
And the British Avengers.
Oh, yeah.
So, but Vincent Price plays an actor.
Yes. An old actor who he feels did not get the recognition for his amazing performances from the critics that he thought he deserved.
Right.
And he is a Shakespearean actor. So he is now going to kill all of these critics in Shakespearean ways.
Yes.
Based on the plays that he was in.
Right.
So he lives in an old theater like a Batman villain.
He was in an awful. What happens
with a bunch of winos?
What happens is, so he doesn't get this award, so he jumps off of a.
He goes to like, it's not like one of their houses; it's like their office, but it looks like a living room, and it's just all of the critics are there.
Yeah, they're having like a little we did a good job. A
critic meeting, and he's like, "This is my award, and I've come to claim it." And he's wearing a cape when he does this. By the way.
Right,
and he's not even supposed to be a character. He's just Vincent Price wearing a cape, and he like goes and he's like, "This is my award," and everybody's like, "Oh, whatever, haha, you suck." And he takes the award, and then he starts like reciting some Shakespearean play, and I don't remember which one. And he like goes outside onto the terrace, and they just like laugh at him, and nobody like goes after him, and then he just jumps off the terrace like into the Thames. And everyone's like, oh, he just died. And then so now everybody thinks he's dead, and now he's going to exact his revenge.
Right. So what ends up happening is he ends up washing ashore, and a bunch of winos nurse him back to health. And then they
and he's still holding his award, by the way. When they drag him up out of the mud, he's still clutching his award.
And he takes up residence in this theater, and this is where he brings over all these different people.
And he makes the winos watch his performances.
And a lot of them seem to enjoy it. Everybody's having a good time in that theater.
Yeah, and so he'll bring people over, and he beheads people, and that's kind of fun.
But then there's this one where
there's
not just one. Not only is just in the theater, but then he will also go to your house, because eventually the cops catch wind of this, because they're trying to like protect these people, but the cops are terrible.
Yeah.
So you know, at one point he goes to this house and he cooks some dogs for one guy. Yeah, that's upsetting. That was pretty upsetting.
The dogs didn't deserve that.
Yeah, and then the one he goes to a hair salon.
Yes.
And
this is the best one.
This is the one where he shows up and like the woman's like, "Oh, I need to get my hair done."
It's the 70s.
And it's like 71.
Let us just say it is the 70s. And so she's like, "Hi, I'm here to get my hair done. Here's my police bodyguard who's totally useless." And he has this like Vincent Price has this stage manager who's like obviously his daughter just in like a wig and a mustache and like glasses and shit. And he's like, the stage manager is like, "Oh, your regular person's not here today. How about you meet with," what was his name? Butch?
I think it was Butch.
Here's Butch. He's like totally edgy, or he has like a groovy or something. He's like, he's super groovy or whatever. And it's Vincent Price in like, almost like a disco shirt that's like all the way open and a fucking afro wig.
Yes.
And it is literally the best thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
And he comes out and he's just like, "Oh, hey, cats and girls."
Yeah, hey, you know? He's basically like, "Hey, cats and kittens." Hey, like,
kittens or whatever. And he's just like, "Man, you're going to love this haircut." And then he just electrocutes this woman eventually.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's fucking nuts. And it's on Shudder.
It's funny.
You should see, it's Theater of Blood. You should probably could find it other places.
I mean, watch it just for Vincent Price in a fucking afro wig.
It's an enjoyable
film.
It's
also very funny because there's a lot of times when Vincent Price wears a mustache over the mustache he already has.
Right, he has so many other outfits.
He has like, he's like, "Oh, I'm a master of disguise because I'm an actor." And he'll like go up and he'll rip off the mustache and there's his real mustache underneath.
"Yes, I'm Vincent Price, but I was also wearing this. I was wearing a big, I'm dressed as a lion for some reason."
It's really funny. It's enjoyable.
Made me really appreciate Vincent Price, actually.
I love Vincent Price so much.
I feel like, maybe I should watch more Vincent Price movies.
Like, yeah. And now we watched it, it was like, "Well, this is for you, Vincent Price." Because I think we watched it on Halloween.
We did.
And it was like, you know, this was your favorite holiday.
That was
you were the king of Halloween. So
he was the king of motherfucking Halloween.
He loved it.
God
so,
bless him.
Yeah. R.I.P.
R.I.P. So, yeah. But I guess that's all we want.
Well, we watched The Craft.
Oh,
the new Craft.
I knew there's another movie. Yes, please.
The Craft.
Legacy.
Legacy. I love The Craft, the original from 96.
Is it 96?
I think it's 96. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
You can look it up, but I'm pretty sure it's 96. It's Fairuza Balk and other Neve Campbell, and I can't remember the other people's names.
Rachel True. Robin Tunney.
And what's her name? Christine. What's her face is in it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Ben Stiller's wife.
Yeah.
Christine. Fuck me.
Yeah. Yeah, 1996.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, I love that movie. I have seen it. I can't even tell you how many times I probably have it memorized. That and The Crow are the two movies I have memorized.
I'm not shocked.
And I love it. I love it so much. So when people are like, "Hey, they're remaking The Craft," I was like, "How about you fuck yourself?" Because
hey,
fuck you.
Fuck off.
Because the original is a classic and it is perfect and don't ever fucking touch it. But
why are we remaking? Well, granted, we're already 20 years and
right,
you know, past that.
And they were like, "Well, no, it's actually it's a quote spiritual sequel." And I was like,
because there was a trailer.
And there was a trailer.
And at the end of the at some point in the trailer, you see a picture of...
You see a Polaroid of Fairuza Balk's character, Nancy. Yeah. And you're like, okay, well, it's a sequel. All right, maybe this'll be cool. So it's about this girl and her mom who go... I don't even know where they are. The last one was so obviously set in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
This is kind of nowhere. It doesn't ever specify.
It's either Michigan or it's the Pacific Northwest.
I think it might be the Pacific Northwest, but it just doesn't specify. Because last time it's like so obviously LA. She moves because the mother's a therapist who like meets and falls in love with David Duchovny. And so she's like, "I know this is weird, but like we're moving in together with his three sons."
Three giant sons. No, he has two giant sons and he has like one regular size son.
A regular son. And hey,
but he has these other two sons who are like fucking
huge,
fucking giant basketball players.
Yeah. And it's just like, "Hey, look, it's David Duchovny looking like a puffy dad."
David Duchovny's hair.
His hair stands straight up.
He has Scotty Too Hotty hair.
It is Max Headroom hair.
Yes, Max Headroom hair.
It stands straight up. And you're like, How much product is in your hair?
It's very, sir? As it turns out, he's like
it's dad product.
He's a men's rights guy.
Yeah, he's like a
so
super,
it's not surprising he's that like he's a got Jordan, like
he's like
styling.
A Jordan Peterson.
Yeah,
who like writes books and stuff. So that's a problem. And so this girl just moves in and like becomes the fourth for this like coven of witches. But in the first one,
yeah,
the girl who comes, like, moves in, she's always had powers, even though she didn't really understand them.
Yeah.
This one's just like, oh, you have powers, but you didn't know that literally until you got here.
Yeah.
So now you have powers.
She never did any of that shit in the first place.
And she's like, what do you mean powers? And she's like, oh, wait, now I have powers.
Yeah.
And I like in the first one how it kind of, like, they take a long time to, like, figure out their powers, and they do, like, little small spells. This one's just like, we're doing crazy shit. I got fucking fire coming out of my fingers. We're going to like just wave a finger and do our own makeup. And I'm like, what's happening?
Yeah.
Here's a bathtub. Why are you in a bathtub? I don't understand. So it's like, whatever.
I think it's just, here's a bathtub, by the way.
Yeah. Why are you in it? So yeah, it's fine. It's very queer. I would say it's very queer. We have a bisexual male character. We have a trans girl.
Yeah.
You know, loving some of that. Obviously the enemy of this movie is the patriarchy, which thumbs up, but also at the same time, don't love the twist and the story's kind of a mess.
Yeah. And it's also very,
like the way they put it together, it's kind of a mess. It's like too fast in some parts and too slow in others and not enough of this and too much of that. And I'm just kind of like,
and there's really,
it's good, but it's not. Does that make sense? It's like, right. It's a very middle.
Well, it's good because it's a craft movie that you want to, you're just glad to see something come out of that franchise. And it just, you know, it feels familiar, but also it doesn't feel very familiar because there's not a lot of charm to it. The first movie.
And you don't know anything about her friends.
No, you don't know anything about the people, other than the fact that they're witches.
Yeah, you know they're witches. You know, one girl is the black girl. The other girl is apparently a Latina girl. And the other girl is a trans girl. That's literally all you know.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, the other ones had stories about it. Like, Nancy was really poor, you know, and she was dealing with that and, like, her kind of creepy stepdad. Yeah, and then you had Neve Campbell's family.
But Neve Campbell had, like, that skin issues.
And she had been, like, burned because she had been burned. So she had, like, horrible burns, like, on her back.
Yeah.
Because, like, boiling water fell on her when she was a kid or something. So she had burns on her body. Then, and of course, again, we have the same problem. And there's a black girl. And that's all the only character trait she has is that she's a black girl. She's being bullied by Christine
McCormick,
who is a racist in that movie.
Oh, that's right.
Horrible, horrible racist.
They don't drop an N in there, do they?
Almost.
I think they get close.
It's a very close. But so, and that's it. So, but at least you see these girls dealing with things. Like, the other ones don't really. This movie, they don't deal with anything. It's just kind of like, here's three friends. The end. Like, they don't have any character traits, except they're her friends. I say C+.
Yeah, it's a very average movie, especially for something that, you know, didn't need to be quasi rebooted.
Yeah.
You know, you could just, you can't leave these alone, you know?
Yeah.
And it's a Blumhouse movie. So it's not as good as like a Get Out. Obviously it's not as good as a Get Out, but you know, or these other Blumhouse films, but
yeah,
it's,
I mean, I think if I were like 14, I'd be like, yes, I love this movie. The enemy is the patriarchy and toxic masculinity. And David Duchovny dies in a forest or whatever. Because you can kind of, I mean, spoilers for that movie, but you can kind of tell the minute he shows up that you're like, oh, I get it.
Oh, I see where we're going here.
I see where we're going.
He's gonna banish them to a realm of dad rock.
Yeah, right? I'm surprised he didn't just play a guitar at them.
Or slow blues or whatever the fuck it is he plays.
Yeah.
But
So yeah, I mean, C+.
Yeah.
It's not terrible. It's not great. Watch the original.
Yeah, that's a good review.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, let's take a quick break, and we'll come back with our book for this week.
Hey there. I'm sure you know about the Capes and Lunatics podcast, but have you heard about the Capes and Lunatics Sidekicks podcast? It's a fun home for classic and new reviews of just about everything. We have the Ultimate Spider-Cast, where we cover everything Spider-Man. The Quantum Zone, where we talk the classic Marvel character Quasar and do deep dives on the cosmic side of Marvel. We also have Comic Capers, where we cover everything old and new in comics. It could be anything, any company, any decade. And we also have our Media Mondays, where we cover some kind of TV show, be it a Arrowverse current hit or our summer specials where we do reviews of classic episodes of the Buffy the Vampire Slayer spinoff Angel. So, if you're a fan of pop culture and media, you should really check it out. And I promise you, you won't be disappointed.
All right, we're back here in our worst collection ever with our book for this week. It is Falling in Love, number 131 from April 1972.
We should probably
preface
because so this is, and we mentioned this a couple episodes ago. So every time I go to Mile High Comics, there is this trade paperback of DC romance comics, and it is called Heartthrob, I think.
Heartthrob's Best of DC Romance Comics, yeah. Which was printed in 1979, by the way.
Which is, yeah, it's old. So, but it Mile High, it's like $560 or something fucking stupid. And I'm like, I'm never, expensive. Never paying that much money. So Sean, in his wisdom, went on eBay and found it for like 30. So got it for me, and it has come. So we were reading a selection out of that book. Amazing book.
Yes, I was very glad to pick this up because I just you don't get a chance to score something like this very often.
Yeah.
And this being a trade from 1979.
Right.
Like I always thought that like, oh, this trade's from 1988. This is old. I was like, right. No, this is OG trade right here.
Yeah.
So and got it for a song.
It's supposed to rain.
So I'm pretty, pretty rad. It's pretty rad.
Yeah.
So
I'm excited about it. So yeah, this is a romance comic from what year?
1972.
Shit.
And the cover, here's the cover of the original comic that we're talking about, because it doesn't give you the covers of the books. At least not, I haven't found it yet.
Yeah.
But on the, you know, DC Wiki, I found it.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a woman in a pink room, two women in a pink room. And you have a girl laying on a recliner who is crying. And she says, if she steals you from me, I'm moving out. And it is a guy answering the door. Looks like John Davidson. He's like, you're her mother? Now I thought you were her sister. And the girl's like, oh, no, not Neil.
Not again. Nah, 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 nah.
And at the bottom, it says the name of the story is My Mother, the Man Trap, which.
So that's why we're reading this.
Which, holy shit.
Right. Oh, your ears are cold, Ms. Loon.
Oh, Ms. Loon is going to enjoy us talking about My Mother, the Man Trap.
She's
now
sitting on me. I have Ms. Luna.
But it also has
ears
a thing.
Are cold.
It also has a thing here. It says, enter now, win money, Dream Man Contest.
What's a Dream Man
I contest? Don't know.
Can I send away for a man?
I don't know.
Do I like send $5 and they send me a man?
Yes.
Like a real one?
No, it's a sea monkey, but it's a man.
He just got to water him.
He just got to water him. He just grows. But oh, he also no. has to live in the fish in the fishbowl.
Oh, shit. Now it's the shape of water.
Yes. 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 DC was on top of that earlier
yeah.
back in the
Yeah,
back
they really 70s. Were.
Also, I think there's another story in here called The Boy I Couldn't Forget.
Mm.
But it's confusing because the way that it has like these, it's listed as like, My Mother, the Man Trap, Win Money, Dream Man Contest. Unless if that's maybe the story. It'd be great.
Oh,
it's
maybe.
A Dream Man Contest.
You know? Maybe.
But here's also another contest. Or maybe it's just, or not just a contest. Maybe it's just like a tutorial that we unfortunately do not get. But
oh.
It says, how to throw a groovy party for under $5.
Dude, do you know how helpful that would be?
That would be very helpful.
I throw parties sometimes. Never for under $5.
It's just buy this cocaine or buy this weed for $5. Have a party, you fuck.
Sure.
But that is.
Dude, if weed that costs $5 must be shit weed.
Oh, well, yeah, but still, you know, it could be a groovy party. Maybe also bring a board game. But bring your own board games, goddammit. You can't afford it anymore because you already spent your $5. Anyways, My Mother, the Man Trap.
Yep, Man Trap.
So we start off with. Oh, a woman. So this is confusing because you have a woman, you have these two women up here about to get married or they're getting.
It really does look like the women are getting married.
Like the women are getting married. And
I was like, wow, this is a very, very interesting book for 1970, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here we've got a lesbian wedding. That is not what this is.
No, it's not. So we start off, though, with the mother. I forget what the mother is. Does the mother have a name? I don't know.
Oh, she does, but I can't remember it.
Mother. So the mother is like talking to Stan Lee, which is how he looks at the time.
Yeah.
I'm just going to call him Stan Lee. His name is Elliot, but I'm going to call him Dr. Stan Lee. So Stanley's like, hey, marry me. And she's like, no, I can't. I'm just not ready to remarry. And the daughter, whose name is Sheila. Sheila's on the outside of the door and she's like, please remarry mom. You keep stealing my boyfriends.
That's right.
Now, let me just say this real quick. Stealing is...
It's not a thing.
Is not. It's not really stealing. It's flirting.
Yeah, I mean...
Because she's not...
She's basically like a cool mom.
Well, because we'll talk about that.
We'll talk about it. But I just want to put out there, like, you can't steal somebody's boyfriend, husband, girlfriend, whatever. That person will willingly go over to somebody else.
Yeah.
And you can't steal anybody. They have free will.
Yeah. They make that decision to make this.
Exactly. And so it's you're stealing my boyfriend. You're just like, okay.
It's like, no, your mom just happens to have.
There's a lot of issues with this book. So we're going to talk about it.
Yeah. Your mom just happens to have game.
Yeah.
But she's not stealing anybody. She's not dating these dudes.
Right.
She's not having sex with any of these guys.
Well, at least we don't think so.
Well, not that we just see.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's having sex in these books. They're very G.
Yes. So she's like, Stanley, I can't marry you. And and Sheila's just like, oh, God, my mom will get married. I wish she would.
Yeah.
And Stanley finds her, Sheila, and she's like crying. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I'm just upset that my mom keeps turning you down and, Sheila and the doctor's like, well, you know, I am your family doctor and you're like a daughter to me because after your father died, your father was sick and I was like, hey, I'm going to get me a piece of that.
Yeah. I'm going to give him the wrong medicine.
It's like a Knives Out.
Yeah, it is.
It always reminds me of, so there's this wrestler, Nikita Koloff.
Mm-hmm.
Who was a Russian guy from Minnesota, kayfabe Russian. And at one point his wife died from the Hodges, by the way.
Okay.
And I always remember that his wife died. And at the funeral, he met his second wife. Yes. Who was like a family friend or something like that. And then at the funeral, he's like, and he goes, yeah. And I met her at the funeral and it was like instant family. Because we interviewed the ones on Monday Night Mayhem, and I always remember that instant family quip.
Huh.
But.
At the funeral.
Or something where where like, I don't know, some game was dropped at the funeral, at the reception over some ham and, or some cold cuts and, you know.
Borscht.
It's a Russian, because he's Russian.
Yes.
Gazpacho. It's tomato soup served ice cold.
It's just the little airborne. It's still good.
Go back to Russia.
So he's like, oh, fine. I'm going to get in my car and leave, whatever.
Yeah.
And so this girl is just like, oh, my God, my mom. She's trying to steal these boys. And now she's just trying to like relive her youth because she's like so pretty and only 36.
Yes. She's only 36.
The girl is like 20.
Yeah,
because she's
got to be somewhere between over 18 at least, because she's getting married at the end of this shit.
I mean, she could just be 18. I mean,
well, that means the mother, because she should say the mother had me
real young. It's possible, but how old is his mom?
The mom's 36, so she probably had her when she was 18.
No,
I mean yes, but no.
No, that is so young.
That is very young.
That's insane.
So she
get old, don't have children. That is my motto. And so far worked well. Cats.
Yes.
Children. Not really.
No.
Kids are great. Not for me.
Right.
Yeah.
So mom looks 36, but she looks like she's 20.
Yeah.
And she made a success on her own business and she has all the monies, but the daughter doesn't have shit because every time they have parties, the mom
isn't there like a flashback where like the daughter throws a party?
Yeah.
And like mom shows up at it and she's like dancing with the friends and like the daughter's out, and that's the next page, right?
Yeah. Well, I just want to point out this daughter's outfit.
Oh yeah. Well, it's very 70s.
Well, it's very 70s. It's a lot of pinstripe, like blue and white pinstripes.
There's
and
she's bell got bottom, like a, she's got like one of those, you know, like rope
bandanas.
Yeah.
So yeah. So basically, and this is where the daughter's like, because the mother's like, it was like, oh, let's play some records. What, you kid, the boys like the fast records, right? And she's like, mom, stop doing this, you know? And
yeah,
she's
going to the next page.
What were we saying? The mother, which she explains, the mother, you know, she says the same thing over and over again. The mother keeps saying, you know, the mother's like, yeah, the mother is living vicariously through her daughter.
Yes, because she
was young and
so
didn't
young
get a chance to enjoy herself.
And didn't get a chance to enjoy herself. So there's this, like, the girl's having a party with her boyfriend, Nate. I think his name is, what's his fucking name?
Neil? Nate?
Neil, something. And so they're outside and like inside there's all these people having this party and like somebody looks over and like the mom is dancing.
Yeah.
And is that where we are?
No, this is, Jack. So this is a different guy.
Right, but this is the party part, right?
This is the party, but it's the flashback.
Right, this is what I'm talking about.
So she's talking to some dude named Jack,
Jack
who's wearing...
And so they're outside, and Jack,
who's wearing
like,
a fucking killer jacket.
He really is. And he looks like... They're outside, and it's like sees the mom dancing with all these people through the sliding glass door. And he's like, wow, that woman's gorgeous. Is that your sister? I'm going to go talk to her.
No,
bye.
She's watching her dance, and he's like, man, she's dancing like a fucking... hardcore maniac.
Yeah, but he wants to like go dance with her.
Yeah, he just
so he just
drops this poor girl.
Drops this woman to go dance with the mom. And so she's like, well, you know, that's when I decided that I can never bring
my mom's in there dancing to the window.
It's just like this whole this book is just Stacy's mom. The song.
It is, yeah, yeah.
So the girl's like, you know what? I am never going to bring another guy around this because my mom is a man trap. She's just trying to get her claws in all these menses. So I'm just going to not bring men around. And then one day she meets Fuckface McGee. What is this guy's name? Neil?
Jim. Neil.
Bob.
Neil.
Neil.
Bob.
She meets him on a double date and he's like weird right off the bat
because he says,
oh,
so
God.
You're Sheila. I don't usually make blind dates, but this one time I'm glad I did. Hello, Sheila. Welcome to my heart.
No.
Welcome to my heart.
Dude, what is that? Welcome to my heart. I'd be like, get the fuck away. Maybe I'm too cynical.
It's a bit much the first time you meet somebody.
Yeah.
If I met you and I went, welcome to my heart.
Yeah, we wouldn't be together.
I think you
but
probably would.
But if we had already like been together and you said that to me as a joke, that would be a different story. But saying that to me,
I would mean it.
Yeah, but like it would be like, haha, it's a joke reference. But saying it to me the first time we meet.
Well, right. Yeah.
That has like, I'm going to kill you and bury you under the house written all over it.
Welcome to my heart.
Yeah. So anyway, so like they get together and they're like, oh, we love each other, whatever. Not introducing my mom to any of these boys.
Well, they go home, they have a good time and they're making out on the porch and the mom comes down and she's like, oh, I think I heard a man.
Man?
She's like, man, I woke up out of a dead sleep and it was a man.
It's like that Roger Rabbit where he goes to Toontown and he thinks it's Jessica Rabbit and it's not, and she's like, a man.
Yeah, pretty much. So
that's me. That was me before when I was single. Oh man.
I know, I heard you. I was there and I heard you.
It was really upsetting because I'd run into windows and my boobs would go both like one goes to the left, one goes to the right.
It must have been very painful.
It was really painful. I'm glad I stopped doing that.
So eventually they get engaged. And at some point, and Neil just, so they've been engaged for a month.
I feel like in all of these books, it's just like one of those, like, we met, we're getting married 6 weeks later. You know what
I mean? Yeah. No, because I feel like we don't really know how long it is that they're dating, but eventually, but it's just, like, it's very quick that they get married.
It's because nobody was, in these books. Not in actual society. No one was fucking back then. So all of these people were just like, we're going to get married as soon as we turn 18 so we can fuck.
Yeah.
That's a mistake.
Yeah.
Fuck first.
Fuck first, marry later.
Yeah, 100%.
So they're on the beach and Neil's like, hey, man, we've been like engaged and I've never met your mother. And
could I meet your mother?
Can I meet your mother?
And she's like, no.
She's like,
instead of like explaining to him what's going on, she's just like, ah,
well, he,
ah,
Well, this guy Neil's like, he's like,
she's really dramatic.
He's also like, look, you know, you meet me on the corner of your street, you know, you are you ashamed of me? Like, I mean, it feels very weird.
It is 100% weird if you're getting married and you haven't met the other person's family. I mean, it's not like she's like, oh, I wish you could be my mom, but she lives in Paris.
Yeah.
Right. You know. It's just, no, you can't meet her. So finally she's like, all right, you can come meet my mom. And then he comes in, he's like, oh, woo, God.
Yeah.
Like, that's your mom? Oh, your mom. So, because she's like, I can't let him see me when I'm not, well, such a mess. Well, I have to go get pretty.
Well, this is where, so he comes
in. Which just, that's like literally me meeting anybody. Just FYI. I'm always like, oh, I have to make sure I look good. How much makeup do I wear? Like, how much makeup am I wearing right now?
You wear a lot.
All the makeup. So that's just normal. She's not trying to ensnare.
Well, she's drawn that way, at least.
She's drawn that way. But honestly, if people were like, hey, you have to meet my veterinarian, I'd be like, let me make sure I put my makeup on first.
So the mother, you know, well, that's the thing. It's okay. So the guy, Sheila introduces Neil to her mother. And he's like, you're Sheila's mom? I've never expected you. And then and Sheila jumps in and she's just like, breathtaking, Neil. Is that what you're going to say?
Yeah. She just immediately just jumps.
Are you hard?
Like, yeah. Is that dick hard? And like,
how about that dick?
So then she's like, look at me. I'm making the coffee. Well, she's talking to the mom. And you know what? I'm not going to take it anymore. So she like runs out there. And is like, mom, I know you're trying to fuck my boyfriend. Very and mom's like, what? And Neil's like, my dick's hard.
I just can't help it. I'm just hard all the time. I got a medical condition.
And he's like,
hard Neil.
Threesome?
Party?
Enough of me to go around, ladies.
Brazzers?
Brazzers.
This was an early Brazzers, by the way.
Pornhub?
That was a DC comic. He did one of those romance comics. So it was like Brazzers every month. Brazzers 138.
Are they numbered? Neil. Are Brazzers numbered? I'm assuming they must be.
Yes, they are. We're doing Brazzers 1020. We're ready when you guys are.
I mean, are they all just called like Anal Babe 47 or?
Well, those are the subcategories.
Oh,
you gotta subcategorize the categories. So you got like Brazzers 1058
blowjob,
and then you got, but underneath that is like
so is it like
armless blowjob 38?
Oh, so is it like Brazzers, and then they're all numbered sequentially, but then you have like your blowjob category, your anal category, your hand job category?
No, I was saying probably
foot job category.
Foot jobs, threesomes, incest.
Ew, no. Well, I realize that is a big thing in porn, and that is not for me.
What we're saying, you know, or stepfather.
No, but incest is like an actual thing in porn, and I don't get it.
Oh, so I'm saying like stepbrother.
Not to like, sister, you know, yuck anybody's
yum. Babysitters, 15.
If that's like your category of porn, like I'm not here to, you know, rain on your cum parade, but it's not for me. As long as it's a fantasy, man, you know, you do what you gotta
coming do soon to theaters. Cum Parade, directed by Jen Stansfield.
Anyways,
actually that was another DC comic we didn't
cum
know
parade.
About it was Cum Parade 500.
It was just people holding umbrellas,
but Cum Parade 500 was embossed. Get ready, guys.
Like that Batman thing.
Yeah, that was actually supposed to be Cum Parade.
He wasn't wearing underwear.
That's right, he wasn't. That's right.
That was the whole thing with that, and thank you for filling us in.
Yes, thank you. I'm sorry. It took us a while to get to it, but one of our... fuck me, I forgot. Is it...
I can look.
You'll look it up.
But, I'm going to look right now.
One of our listeners pointed out to us...
When we were talking
apparently,
about...
Apparently this issue... This issue of Batman was very popular.
It was a couple episodes ago. We did a Batman issue that was like had an embossed cover. And we're like, why is it embossed? I don't know. It's just special. Come to find out, it was because it is the first one where he appears without underwear.
Yeah. It says it's a new outfit.
Yeah.
And
where Batman takes the stairs. DeBarsh commented, but it was Herbert Fung says, yeah. Wasn't this the issue that Batman finally got rid of his trunks? So thank you, Herbert. I was not aware that was why that issue was embossed, but now we know. So thank you.
If I was looking at a Wizard comic magazine, I probably would be able to find that out, because usually it's like Batman's new outfit, you know, or something like that.
But we were not looking at Wizard. We were just sitting on our couch not doing anything.
Nope, didn't do shit.
Yeah, just like we usually do.
Yep. Where was it? Where are we in this dumb story?
Okay. Oh, yeah. So she's like, oh, he's trying to get a threesome. This woman's like, you know what? Fuck you, Mom. I'm going to move out. And it's the 70s, so shit's affordable.
Yeah. Yeah. And so because they move into an apartment together, Neil and Sheila. And, you know, and Neil's just like, how come you don't love his apartment? Or why are you sad?
Are you thinking about your mom? And she's like, yeah, I'm thinking about my mom. I know. I'll go talk to my doctor.
Well, they go talk to the doctor, get the blood test, because apparently that was a thing back then.
Oh, it was a thing back then. You had to get a blood test to get married.
Yeah.
For some reason.
You had to get a blood test. And
to make sure you weren't related? I don't know why you had to do that.
Oh, is that what that was for?
I don't know.
Oh, also check for disease.
Maybe that's why. I don't know why people used to have to get blood tests to get married.
Well, maybe because it was like, because you're assuming that if you're a wholesome person that's reading that exists in this world, that you're not having sex. So, but you want to check to make sure you don't have any diseases.
Sure.
You are, you know, post 1970.
Yeah.
So, you know, there might be, a series of things going around. Some Indonesian junk going around.
Yeah. So she goes to get the blood test, and then she like brings it up to this guy about how the mom is like fucking all the boyfriends or whatever. And he's like, I think this guy's a little bit wrong. Yeah. Now, I will say
he's not really understanding why she's right. upset.
And this daughter also is a little dramatic.
She's a bit extra.
We're not going to say that's not true. So she's talking to the doctor, and he's like, don't you understand? The only reason that your mom was there is so you wouldn't be lonely like she was. You're a terrible person. You better apologize to your mom. And I'm like, but that's not how it came off. It comes out feels like she's really trying to be the coolest. She's trying to be friends with her daughter's friends.
Yeah.
And that's fucking weird.
And the daughter, instead of just being like, hey, Ma, could you like, it makes me uncomfortable.
I didn't have a cool mom.
No.
Like, I don't have a cool mom. I don't know what it would be like to have a cool mom where all the friends like her and, like, want to hang out with her.
Yeah.
I think that would be weird, but maybe it would be normal. I don't know. Maybe you think it's normal. Oh, dear.
Our cats are fighting. Anyway.
I mean, maybe you think it's normal when you grow up that way.
No, probably. Sometimes some people, like,
it'd be weird as fuck if my mom was like,
parents just get along.
Luna.
Oh, our crazy cats.
Yeah, but maybe that would be like, it wouldn't be weird if your mom was like, I'm just going to come talk to your friends.
It is awkward. It is awkward, but unless...
But we didn't
like,
have cool moms.
Yeah, well...
So if you had a cool mom and you were raised that way, like maybe it wouldn't be weird.
It would be something, too, like where if I'm just sitting there and like my dad would come in and be like, hey, you know, my dad, you know...
Yeah.
You know,
had a cool dad.
I had a cool dad.
Your dad was an attraction at your brother's bachelor party.
Yes, he was. My dad never wore clothes.
he never wore a shirt. He always wore jorts.
He was fully jorted.
Yeah.
So anyway, the Stanley doctor is just like, he was like, you're a terrible person, and they're like, okay, I guess I should.
And she's like, oh my god, I gotta go apologize to my mom. So she runs to apologize to her mom, and then she's like, everything's great now that I'm gonna get married.
Well,
and then at the end,
No. I have a point out here. So mother and daughter are having this moment.
Oh, this is so creepy. I told you this guy's angling for a threesome.
And then, yeah,
100%.
Totes is. Because then Neil, so they're hugging and they're like, you know, mother's like, it's okay, I forgive you, whatever. And Neil shows up in apparently his tie, which by the way, his tie, the way the design of the tie looks like it's Charlie Brown's hair.
Oh, it does.
It's a pretty odd looking outfit here.
Yeah.
But he's like, is there room for one more in your arms, mother?
Yeah. Ew.
He's totally. It's Neil Brazzer.
This is the beginning of Brazzers.
After this issue, Falling in Love became Brazzers.
They went on to actually, you know what it is? They went on to form Brazzers Inc. and create Brazzers as we know it today.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
this is the origin.
My father, Neil Brazzer.
Because they're like literally.
Started this in 1972.
Because he's like, is there any room in those arms for me?
How about just make room for you guys?
All three of them are just hugging. And then at the very end, it's a... Is this a double wedding?
Yeah. It's like, so at the end of like a movie, like a sitcom.
It's like a double wedding, but what it looks like is the mother and the daughter are getting married and the men are their maids of honor slash best men. But then he's like, and then it was just the four of us. And I'm like, what? Now is this a fucking foursome instead of a thruple? You guys are, I don't
quadruple.
Know. A quadruple? Is that what that's called?
I'm just adding another.
Oh, because a thruple's a real thing.
I know a thruple is, but this
but
is.
But what's a foursome?
Quadruple.
It must be a quadruple.
Sure.
Sure.
If anybody's, consult the browsers.
If anybody's in a quadruple, let me know if that's the correct answer.
We want to make sure you're included.
I know what a thruple
is. In our rantings here. in our weird comic book or comic
is it, or
book
is that just poly? That, like if you're like in a foursome, are you just poly then?
Yeah, it's
maybe
it's
that's
a,
it.
It's a, you know, it's
but
a
that's only if party. Everybody in the poly cup, like poly quadruple fucks each other.
Yeah. I guess so.
And that doesn't always happen.
But yeah, so it's just the four of them and they all live in the one room together and they all fuck. And
they founded Browsers.
And they founded Browsers.
I almost said Browsers. They created Browsers.
Well, Browsers originally was Browsers and then it just became really, it just got really smutty. Things just got really crazy.
So it changed.
It's like, yo, Browsers. Somebody just called it Browsers.
Right.
So yeah, but that's how this book, this story ends.
So weird.
I'm assuming there's another story in this book, but we don't have it, but that's fine. Actually, I think technically we do. Ew. because there's another, because this one just kind of connects to the next issue. So this is still part of the same issue.
Yeah, we don't have to read that. I didn't read it. Did you?
No, I didn't. Because I didn't know it was a part of the same issue. I didn't realize that, but I'll take it. I'll take the word for it. That
yeah. Oh, I just wanted to share some exciting news.
Okay.
Looks like just dropped today for who is going to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for 2020.
Oh, and do you want to tell us who that is?
I would like to tell you who that is. So it is. Oh, it's going to be on HBO Max, by the way.
Ooh.
So we could watch it.
I can not watch it like I've never have.
Well, we might want to because
Typo negatives going in.
Oh, God, I wish. 2020 inductee class includes Depeche Mode.
Ooh.
The Doobie Brothers.
Yeah.
Whitney Houston, RIP. Nine Inch Nails.
Ooh, man. Trent, that's very anti. I feel like Trent Reznor's like probably like, I guess.
Yeah. Notorious B.I.G., T-Rex. And
T-Rex ain't in yet?
Apparently not. Apparently they're going in. Apparently neither is Depeche Mode.
Well, Depeche Mode, I can understand.
And Nine Inch Nails. How fucked up is that? Trent Reznor is not only an Oscar winner.
He is
now a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee.
Which is in Cleveland, which is where he's from.
Yeah.
Oh, is that it?
Yes. I mean, there's probably more, but that's who it says. Those are the big names they put
those
out
are
there.
Some big names.
Yep.
So that means they're going to have a jam at the end of the session, and Trent Reznor's going to have to be up there like, head like a hole. And
with the Doobie Brothers?
With the Doobie Brothers.
But he's probably going to be like, oh shit, it's Depeche Mode. I mean, that's how I would be.
I didn't realize back in like the early 90s, like late 80s, early 90s, how fucking wild Dave Gahan was.
Oh my God. Yeah. They have some of the craziest fucking tour stories that they're not dead.
Yes.
Is a miracle.
You listen to Depeche Mode and you're just like, whatever, it's Depeche Mode. You know, this song's cool. This
no,
cool.
They were maniacs.
Fucking out of control. All of them were.
Yeah, all of
all
them.
All the motherfuckers. Like, Martin Ross, or what's his name?
Oh,
Martin,
so many. Martin, I don't know whatever, all of them.
Martin Gross or something, you know, and Dave Gahan and guy with glasses and other guy that without glasses.
And they were just all.
But like the Violator, like I guess the Violator Tour.
The Violator Tour apparently is like one of the most legendary debauched tours in history. And that's going up against like acts like the Rolling Stones.
It's,
they beat out them.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
It's nuts. Like I was listening to Alan Cross talk about it.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, that's right. Dave Gahan is a fucking lunatic.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, he's alive to be inducted to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I don't know how any of them are alive.
Yeah, how is that?
I listened to that episode with you and I'm like, how are they not dead?
Yeah, right. But congrats.
Congrats to them.
2020.
Love a Depeche Mode.
When is it airing? Did it say?
I think tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow.
I think so, yeah.
All right, fine. Fine, fuck you. Thing, just taking up my time. Fine, I'll watch it.
Yes.
Anyways, that's it for this week's episode. Falling in Love, number 131 from April 1972. Did you want to read the next issue of that?
Of course.
Of course. It's probably in this book. It's a pretty good book, and I'm glad I snatched that up.
Yes, thank you.
Yes. Thank you for listening, folks. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Angry Hero Sean.
And I'm at Jen Stansfield on Twitter and Instagram. You can find us on Facebook, Worst Collection Ever, and email the show, worstcollectionever@gmail.com.
And please rate, review, subscribe on Apple Podcasts or anywhere you get the show. And tell your friends.
Yeah.
And be cool out there, because
shit's crazy.
Shit's crazy, and Depeche Mode's still alive.
Yeah.
You should be...
Be like Depeche Mode.
Be like Depeche Mode. Live. Forever.
Forever.
All right, folks. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again soon.
Bye.